this is the hardcore icon, and for all your pro wrestling news, hit Gerwick.net. Now, that's not just the coolest, that's not just the best, that, my friends, is just incredible.
It is Wednesday, September the 3rd, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, webmaster of www.gerweck.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And I'm joined with my longtime tag team partner, Frank D. It's another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 46. And let's say what's up to Frank D.
What's going on, Steve? The what's up for today is the WWE Network subscription of Frank D is over today, like for many other people, and I'm really conflicted right now as to what I'm going to do as far as that goes. But before you get back on that, I actually want to send a special shout out to my homegirl Lauren out there that's listening. Just want to say what's up to her and back to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as the network is concerned, Frank, I don't know if you got any more spam mail from WWE and the what looked like porno mail as Randy Orton in your inbox. But, yeah, today is September the 3rd, and we both have the same email right in front of our faces here saying today your subscription ends with WWE Network, and it is kind of judgment day for a lot of fans out there that made the initial six-month commitment to the network. And they've added, of course, the Monday Night War series, which is a very good series. And they've also added episodes of Nitro from 95, 96. And yet, you know, Frank D is still on the borderline as far as making a call. I am too. And the one thought I kind of thought here, Frank, is maybe I'll let the subscription run out and see if they give you a little grace period. Sometimes they do that, you know, after your subscription runs out, see if they give you a free run for a while. And really, to me, I probably don't really need the network again until the Night of Champions, which I think is the 21st. So I could go a few weeks without it and see how it goes and see if they give me a few weeks of grace period before I dive back into another six-month commitment. But I am happy with the Monday Night Wars. I'm happy with Nitro being there, at least in 95, 96. But, Frank, they got a long ways to go in terms of getting the content on the network that people really want to see.
Exactly. I mean, they've added, the Monday Night War series, which is a series which I think is excellent so far. Really gives you a really good perspective of what was going on at the time. I'm really digging the side-by-side comparisons that they have on there. Well, they'll put the time of what's going on that particular episode, and they'll show the rating at that point of the show. So that's really, really, really informational. And I have Monday Nitro, the most talked about show that people wanted on the network finally to be there. It's cool, the first 100 hours, 95, 96 is what they're touting right now. But I really would have hoped to have had 97 on there as well. But, the thing is, like you said, they really got a long ways to go as far as the rest of the content, because a lot of people are already saying, okay, we got the Nitros from 95 and 96, where's the Monday Night Raws to accompany these Nitro shows? I mean, do you remember the infamous Brian Pillman gun incident episode of Raw? Well, that would be an interesting show to watch, but it's not on there.
And I have not actually tuned in to see the Nitros yet. I know somebody got in trouble on the WWE Raw this week when they had a sign that said I could be home watching Nitro right now, but I've not actually tuned in to any of the episodes. I'm assuming that they're doing the same dubbing over music as we've seen in the pay-per-views as well.
As far as Nitro goes, the only dubs that I've noticed on there have been, for some particular reason, they're dubbing over Public Enemy's WCW theme, which I don't understand that one at all when the theme is clearly heard on the WCW pay-per-views, and they're still dubbing over Diamond Dallas Page. So I don't know what's up with that. The only person that can answer that question would be Jimmy Hart. I sent Jimmy Hart an email about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've yet to hear a response. So I guess I have to come on here and bash him, and then he'll answer me.
Well, he probably wants some money to get a response.
I'm not going to pay Jimmy Hart $100 to get an answer to a question.
You know, he'll do a promo for you for the right price as well. So
I don't need a promo from Jimmy Hart.
You know, it's interesting that with the Monday Night Wars series starting, you'd think they'd have more of the Monday Night Wars content with Raw and Nitro having all those Monday Night Wars shows available on demand service right now. And the other thought I had, Frank, is, you know, watching the Monday Night War series, boy, it really, you know, great flashbacks to a great period in wrestling, the NWO angle, the birth of the Attitude Era, the birth of the Mr. McMahon character, and it just really shines a light on how bad or dull the wrestling product is today. I'm not going to say the wrestling product today is bad, but I just think it's dull. It doesn't excite me. There's no engaging characters that really grip you. I mean, you watch Stone Cold out there. You watch Steve Austin out there. And the new characters that WWF had to create to compete with WCW. You just don't get that in today's product. The storylines are nowhere near where they used to be. There's nothing engaging about today's product. And I think, Frank, that watching the network really amplifies our thoughts on, boy, today's product is just really bad.
Well, you know, the thing about it too is that I won't say that the wrestling today is bad. You know, like you just said here, today the wrestling is phenomenal. The in-ring action, you get a lot better wrestling than you did in the Attitude Era on WWE's program. Now WCW, in my opinion, at the time had the better wrestling. I mean, you had the Cruiserweights out there, you had Dean Malenko out there, you had Eddie Guerrero out there, Chris Jericho, you had other people out there that were wrestling. So you had a better in-ring product over at WCW, and I think you have a better in-ring product today as far as wrestlers going out there and wrestling, because the storylines, as you just said, suck. I mean, we're going to get to some storylines a little bit later on that are really just terrible right now. As far as what's going on today, you know, the network, like you just said, really shines a light on how bad the situation is, the fact that WWE today has no stars compared to yesteryear. And I really honestly at this point don't know how to fix that. If they don't know how to fix it, how the hell will we know?
That's true. Well, let's get into the current product. The current product with WWE, because there's some glaring storylines that are really bad, and we should definitely talk about. In fact, Matt Hardy wrote a little tweet there about how just, you know, in 2014, the storytelling, it's just not there in professional wrestling like it once was. You got so many other different reality shows and shows on Netflix and other cable outlets that are really more engaging than wrestling is right now, and just the lack of storytelling. And, you know, the two things that come to mind immediately is the story with the Bellas, which is a train wreck from day one, and the bad acting we've seen in trying to sell this angle. Now, I guess their solution, Frank, for next week is to have Jerry Springer show up. I mean, I don't know what that means in terms of a PG era, because I guess looking back at the Attitude Era, it was kind of Jerry Springer-type programming at that time. And the other glaring thing to me, Frank, is the Wyatt family, who I thought at one time they were really building them up as major characters. It looked like they were on the cusp of winning the tag team titles. Bray Wyatt was, you know, he had the feud with Cena, and then he went over on Y2J. But, man, they've just been buried on WWE television. And I just think the Wyatts and the Bellas right now are just two prime examples of things that people do not want to see. And it's just not engaging television at this point.
Now, the Wyatt family situation, I don't understand why they're being jobbed out like they are right now. I mean, you talk about Bray Wyatt, who, you know, outside of the Shield, had the hottest act in WWE, and it's just like ever since the guy feuded with John Cena, he's lost so much steam, and then Super Cena destroyed the guy, you know, in Anaheim a week ago, and it's been downhill ever since. And it's really just ever since WrestleMania, I've just noticed, you know, a real decline with Bray Wyatt and guys like Cesaro, and now you're pushing this Bella Twins storyline down our throat. And it's just nothing but bad acting, just horrible. I mean, you would think the Bella Twins, the entire time that they were gone, they would have took some acting classes and really, you know, learned the craft. But I remember when they did the angle a few months ago, see, with Daniel Bryan, where Kane was after him and after him and Brie, and he couldn't get the damn car started, and she's up there with that horrible screaming and that horrible acting she was doing. It's just, you know, it really makes you cringe as a wrestling fan that, you know, this type of crap, they would even let this go. Like, this is actually good, compelling TV when it's really not. This is just garbage.
Yeah, it's very dull. It's non-engaging. I agree totally with Matt Hardy's comments. The storytelling in 2014 is really bad. And, you know, to me, Frank, when I look at the WWE product, and we've talked about this with Brock Lesnar, you know, he's the champion. I mean, he's the guy that should have been the champion in 2012 when he returned to the company. I mean, you had your runs with Orton. You had your runs with Cena. Now it's a new era. The guy was hot coming in from the UFC, and he dominated the UFC. He was a, you know, legitimate shoot fighter, could beat anybody on the roster. He should have built it up that way. And yet, you know, he comes in back to WWF, and you have him lose to the Five Knuckle Shuffle. And, you know, I just – we talked about this before, Frank, with, you know, who is the top contenders for Brock Lesnar's championship? And, you know, last podcast we debated about bringing Kurt Angle back. And I agree that, you know, 2014, a battered-up Kurt Angle is probably still better than most of what you have on your roster to offer. I mean, you have Cena versus – Lesnar, is it going to be Lesnar versus Orton? I don't really want to see that. I mean, what we're talking about is the build towards The Rock, a guy who's not on your roster right now, a guy who does special appearances and special matches. And I'm thinking, you know, Frank, Batista's got a hot movie out right now. There's talk that maybe he may not be returning. The Undertaker's at the end of his run. Kane, obviously, is way past his prime. Triple H is past his prime. And 2014, we're not seeing Cesaro get over and push like he should be pushed. We talked about Roman Reigns as a budding star. You got Ambrose there. Kofi Kingston's a name that comes to mind. You know, Dolph Ziggler, they buried for how long, and now maybe they're doing something with him. Sandow, etc. It's just in an era now, Frank, you know, watching the Monday Night Wars, thinking, you know, they had to create some new stars. And here in 2014, with Lesnar now as a champion, man, they really lacked the star power to few. I think it really amplifies that they don't really have contenders for Brock Lesnar right now. And, you know, they've wasted a lot of time with Cesaro and dropping the ball with him. And, you know, who is it that they have that's going to excite me to face Brock Lesnar? Obviously, they're doing the John Cena rematch at the next pay-per-view. But, Frank, this is a really lackluster roster, and they just don't have the names and faces you need to compete for that championship right now.
Now, and it's like this, too. You know, okay, when we're done with John Cena, who we're going to go to next? And like you just said right now, there is nobody to go to. There is nobody. I mean, there is nobody out there that is a top contender. I mean, you know, there's a possibility of Batista returning, but if my movie made $600 million, would I come back necessarily? Probably not right now. No, not at all. Especially when I wasn't given, you know, adequate publicity for my film on WWE television to begin with. When everybody thought that my film was on a bomb and it wasn't going to make any money, and it did the complete opposite. So, no, I wouldn't be in a rush to get back there at all. And, you know, as far as the way that they have, you know, used some of the guys, I mean, Cesaro, for a perfect instance, Cesaro was a Paul Heyman guy. And, you know, there could have been some tension between him and Brock Lesnar. And there you go, right there, a new feud. And then you can also, I mean, look at the failure, Steve, of Ryback. Look at what Ryback could have been. Ryback could have been this unstoppable force that could have gone up against a Brock Lesnar and would have been believable. And now Ryback is nothing but a pretty much a job guy. I mean, look at the other talents that they've had there that they've dropped the ball with. Look at Fandango. Fandango came in with such, you know, promise, and he was going to be, you know, he was one of Vince McMahon's pet projects. And look at the guy now. Look at Damian, like you said, Damian Sandow. Look at Big E. You know, look at all these different guys that WWE has on there that they're doing. I mean, look at freaking Titus O'Neil. Big rugged guy like that getting jobbed out to a damn bunny. I mean, that's where we're at right now in WWE, where we're not pushing anybody, and we have nobody to stand up to this unstoppable force in Brock Lesnar. And that's exactly what he is. He's an unstoppable force, a former UFC champion, the most legitimate guy you have in the entire company. And outside of John Cena, you have nobody that's on his level. You have nobody to face him. So when you're done with Cena at Night of Champions, where do you go now after that? You got nowhere to go. and you need you know, Lesnar there on some of these shows, and some of them you don't need him there. But I would think, you know, after Night of Champions, he's going to probably disappear, and we won't see him probably until Survivor Series. But then you build to Survivor Series, who's going to be the next guy to take on Brock Lesnar? And right now, you have nobody. Cesaro is going to need some time being rebuilt. Roman Reigns is not ready. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the only thing I could see them doing is maybe turning Randy Orton back babyface and having him go after Brock Lesnar, but I don't even know if they're going to even go that route.
Yeah, they're in a real bad situation with that world championship. I mean, Lesnar is the guy, but the roster is so lackluster after, you know, once you get past Cena and Orton. Those are the main stars, and then they have wasted so much time killing Bray Wyatt. I mean, he's the name that comes to mind, because what would have happened if Bray Wyatt would have destroyed Cena, and then they feed him Jericho, and then maybe somebody else, you keep him strong. Does he look more like a contender to you than a lot of the roster guys you have currently? I mean, couldn't you see them doing Lesnar versus Wyatt if they would have kept Wyatt strong as a different type of character in the ring against Lesnar instead of the traditional wrestler? I mean, I really thought they had something with Bray Wyatt, and I don't understand, what did he do to upset Vince? I mean, why are they burying this guy? I mean, Frank, they're talking about giving Michael Sam an open mic next week on Raw, an openly gay NFL prospect, I guess you would say. And, boy, Frank, they could give the open mic to so many talents in WWE that they could come on TV and say, where's my push? How come I'm not being elevated? Look how weak this roster is, and we need stars, and we have some talent on this roster, and yet everybody's being held down right now and sacrificed to John Cena. And it's just mind-boggling that you want to give a mic to Michael Sam when, I mean, wouldn't it be more engaging to hear the guys being pushed down in WWF to have an open mic, and they could say their two cents and why they're being buried in WWE right now?
Well, first of all, my thing is, this whole thing is kind of hypocritical to me, and I'm pretty sure this is just a publicity stunt, but you have the first openly gay wrestler outside of Pat Patterson, the first openly gay wrestler on the roster, and his name is Darren Young, but yet you don't promote Darren Young to speak on your program. We know it, but it's like a secret. You know, we don't want to publicize it, but you want to bring this guy over who has nothing to do with the Federation, which makes no damn sense to me. So, you know, I don't understand that logic, and that I don't understand the logic of Bray Wyatt. I don't know who Bray Wyatt pissed off and who Dolph Ziggler made happy, but I noticed that we're seeing the complete opposite going on right now in their careers. And I'm not liking it one bit. I'm not liking the fact that Bray Wyatt is getting jobbed out. They're jobbing out the Wyatt family completely. Look what they're doing with Rowan and Harper. Completely jobbing them out. I don't understand the logic of the hottest act outside of the Shield is now, I mean, as an afterthought now. The world's heavyweight championship division, because you have nobody to face Lesnar. I mean, who's next in route? I mean, who would it be? I mean, Sheamus? I mean, who wants to really see Sheamus versus Brock Lesnar? That just sounds boring.
That's right
there. The only person that I can see going up against the Brock Lesnar, it would be three people that come to mind, and it would take a lot of work from one of these guys. The number one guy on my list right now would be they bring back Batista. Batista versus Lesnar would be a match that I would book at Survivor Series, because it's never been done before on TV. I mean, they've done something back in the day. We saw the video of them I believe OVW or something like that. That's, you know, we've seen that when Batista was Leviathan. So we saw them wrestle back in those days, but we've never seen them as far as being big stars wrestle on a big platform. So that would be something that I think people would go crazy and see that, and I think it would push network subscriptions. The second person that I would see them doing something with would be Randy Orton. Okay, Randy Orton has been very stagnant as a heel, and it's kind of like, where do you go with Orton at this point? Now that I think seemingly the feud with him and Roman Reigns has ended, Randy Orton's back doing nothing. Okay, you turn Randy Orton babyface and have Randy Orton take on Brock Lesnar for the championship. And the third and final one would be you rebuild Cesaro. You put Cesaro in a winning run, show Cesaro's strengths. I mean, the guy won the Battle Royal. The guy was swinging around. I believe he swung around the Big Show or something, or Charlie, or one of these guys. He could be a top contender for Brock Lesnar. It would be believable.
Yeah, I'd still go back to Kurt Angle. but you know what? I like your idea of Batista, because obviously Batista tried a little bit with MMA as well. They could really build him up as a legit shoot fighter, go up against Brock Lesnar. You say, who else on the roster could match him in the MMA world? And, yeah, I think you got something there with Batista. That's actually an intriguing matchup there, even though I wouldn't think it would be necessarily great matches, but it would be something that I would like to see because, you know, they have destroyed so many talents in WWE right now. They don't have that legitimate guy. Cesaro, I just don't – at this point, I just don't see him at that level. I mean, they could build him up if they wanted to. Frank, they could make any of these guys legitimate stars if they want to.
They could build Cesaro. They could build Cesaro in a month if they wanted to, and have him ready to face Batista.
I don't want to understand what happened to his first name.
I don't
understand that. I don't get that. I mean, Big E was what, Big E Langston, and now he's
right.
Just Big E.
Right.
What happened to his other name?
Big E Langston is another one that could be a top challenger to Brock Lesnar. I mean, that guy has the size. I mean, this guy could be a legitimate threat to Lesnar.
What about Rusev?
I think Rusev is another guy that could be a big legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar. I think he could be, but they got to get away from this stupid Russian gimmick. It's just not working. This Russian thing is lame. You know, this is stupid. I mean, we're not even at war with these people. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, this is just dumb. I'm not digging it. It's like every time she comes out there, you know, Lana comes out there, it's like, damn, am I watching Rocky IV? I mean, that's how it comes
out. And not to mention, I mean, how many wrestling fans are paying attention to what's going on with Russia and Ukraine right now?
Pretty much nobody.
Nobody.
And another thing, too, with that is that WWE, you know, once again, likes to play things both ways. Okay, you have a product here that you cater to the kids with PG, right? But then you want to have an angle going on where you're talking about Russia and you're talking about war. You're talking about this country's better than your country. It doesn't make any damn sense. So I don't get that.
Are they bullying us to say that Russia's better than America?
Well, I mean, I would think they are, yeah. I mean, WWE has a you know, instead of actually seeing what's going on with the world, they have this mentality of we're going to just go out there and we're going to, you know, knock the president because we're, you know, pretty much we're all Republicans. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day if you're Republican or Democrat. It's the same thing. So it doesn't really matter.
Two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. It doesn't really matter. So that just shows you how WWE is. It's like, for WWE to even still be pulling off stupid storylines like this, it just shows you how much the time has passed and they have never evolved. I mean, I can never remember a point in time, you know, outside of Team Canada, which WCW got that from WWE, that WCW ever did an angle like this. They never did stupid stuff like this. The only time that this actually worked, and it barely worked, was when Sergeant Slaughter, you know, was on the Iraqi. He was Iraqi turncoat back in 91.
You know, we've had the 80s, we had the 90s, we had wrestling really getting stale in the 90s. I know I lost a lot of interest in the mid-90s, early 90s, some of the things had been played out. AWA collapsed. Crockett was kind of in a holding phase there with their product, and WWF had gotten kind of stale. And, you know, I think about the Attitude Era. I think about the NWO. I think of the Monday Night Wars. And then, you know, after that, you know, once Vince owned everything, I mean, what do we dub this era? Say maybe 2001 on, since Vince owns the world. He owns ECW, he owns WCW, etc. What do we dub this world? I mean, I can't say the wrestling product is bad, but it's just dull. I mean, is this the dull era that we're in right now?
It's the dull era slash the monopoly era slash the creative sucks era. I mean, you know, they dubbed it at one point. Remember they dubbed it Ruthless Aggression? And,
right.
You know, I mean, I haven't, I mean, you know, honestly, the Attitude Era died I believe the Attitude Era died the night that they purchased WCW. That was
yep.
that was the end of that. That was the end of the Attitude Era. I believe it died at that point. And they've never, to me, Steve, honestly, you know, and a lot of people out there who listen to the podcast might disagree with this, but I've always felt this way. WWE, to me, has never been the same creatively, and they've never been the same as a company ever since they bought WCW. It just never had, the product has never been the same since then. And a lot of that has to do, I mean, it's just something about it that's been off. And I think a lot of it has to do also, has to go, it goes all the way back to WrestleMania 17 when Stone Cold Steve Austin turned heel.
I just think they have gotten complacent. I mean, once they won the Monday Night Wars, once Vince bought his competition and he beat Ted Turner and he won the Monday Night Wars, and by default he ended up with ECW through bankruptcy, there's just been so much complacency with what they've done. He said lack of creativity, lack of character development, lack of storytelling, as Matt Hardy would rightly point out. I don't know, like 2001 on, I mean, after you watch those Monday Night War shows, I mean, it really shines a spotlight on just where we are in 2014, where we've been in 2013, where we've been in 2009 and 2007 and 2005. I mean, we were talking about the last podcast, we were talking about the 2003-2005 era with trips on top. And you know, somebody asked if that was the dullest period. I can't say that's the dullest period because I just think they had more star power back at that time. But since then, Frank, it's just this lack of getting people over, making new stars, reinventing yourself to a larger degree, you know, making new contenders. And it really, you know, I think about, you know, now they signed Kenta. Maybe that's a sign in the right direction that they'll start bringing in some stars from other organizations. But we've pointed out how many times they've passed up TNA talent. I mean, Frank, Bobby Roode on the WWE roster could mean something right now, this second.
Yeah, Bobby.
And yet,
yeah.
They've passed on Bobby Roode before. What? Why do they think 2014? And I understand, you know, we talked about the stain of TNA, and they don't want to touch people from TNA. You got Frankie Kazarian, who could come in and do something in WWE at this point. Christopher Daniels, who could mean something to WWE at this point. And yet you've seen it over and over and over, WWE passing on what I would say established talent to say, well, you know, we've got guys in what was Florida Championship Wrestling. We've got guys in NXT on the verge of being major stars. Well, Frank, I'm just not seeing it. And it's been that way for a long time. They're just not making the stars that's really clicking with wrestling fans today.
Right. I mean, you know, we talk about TNA and we talk about, you know, who we bring over from TNA that will make a difference in WWE right now. Bobby Roode, like you said, is on the top of the list. Bobby Roode is at the top of the list. James Storm is at the top of that list right now. I think the Cowboy James Storm coming in there as a big heel. Oh, that would get over 100%. It's something that people aren't seeing right now on the current product. I mean, who else would be another guy that can come over there and do something? I think, you know, honestly, that you could bring in somebody like Abyss.
Well, now I don't see as many people because TNA has lost so much talent.
Right.
But years ago, we've mentioned the names on here before, like Abyss, like Bobby Roode, who reportedly reached out to WWE. You said James Storm. Chris Harris at one time they had.
Right.
They could have done something with Chris Harris, and he didn't mean anything because they gave him some stupid gimmick and some stupid name. And I don't know. I just – it's so frustrating. And, you know, like what Matt Hardy said, it's I want wrestling to do well. I'm not criticizing WWE to bury wrestling. And I think, you know, as we do this podcast and, you know, I'm asking you, you know, last night in a text, you know, what do you want to talk about? And we come up with these topics and it's negative, negative, negative. And, you know, I'd love to do a podcast where we talk about everything just positive. But the wrestling product today is just so stale and unengaging. And it's just the missed opportunities they've had. I mean, we talked about, you know, Nexus angle was something. The invasion angle, which we were going to talk about from a reader that wants us to talk about the, you know, the invasion angle of 2001. How many missed opportunities the WWE's had to really enlighten their fan base, to get the fans really talking about WWE. I mean, you were just talking, when we were talking offline, that, you know, in 2001, 2000, 1999, 1998, you were, yeah, I'm a wrestling fan. Everybody's talking about wrestling. 2014, you're not going around saying, hey, I'm a wrestling fan.
Right.
Because who wants to say I'm a wrestling fan to this boring, stale product right now?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, man, it was like, you know, they had Hulk Hogan's birthday, and NWO came out. He was like, holy crap. He's like, NWO is back? I was like, they just got back for one night. Oh, he's like, if they had had them back on there, I probably would watch. And that just shows you right there that an angle that happened in 1986 is still one of the biggest things to talk about today. Nobody's talking about what's going on right now. Nobody's talking about their wrestling fans. And, you know, my thing, too, is that, you know, we're talking about talents here. And I go back to, once again, and this has become like a weekly thing now, but I go back to Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, Big E, the faction that they were supposed to have that isn't happening. You know, they got these guys back out there doing the same exact stuff that they were doing before, basically jobbing them out. I mean, why is Kofi Kingston being jobbed out to Bo Dallas? That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, how far is Bo Dallas really going to go with his Bo Leave game? I don't see anything in it. Okay,
that's the point. Bo Dallas and Adam Rose are the guys they think are the cusp of becoming major stars. They bring them up to the main roster, and they're going to push them. And
now you read the stories that Vince has given up with Adam Rose and has given up with Bo Dallas. They're flops, okay?
Yep.
Complete flops. And it's a flop. Why is Titus O'Neil being jobbed out to Adam Rose in the first place? That just makes no damn sense to me.
I don't understand why would they tease a new faction? Why would they tease they're doing a new nation or a stable of African-American wrestlers if they're not going to do it? Because obviously if it was a trial balloon, it did get people talking. There was people on social media saying, oh, well, I wonder who's going to be a part of this group and where they're going to go with it. And they just totally dropped the ball with that. They just said, nope, we're not going to do that. Sorry, move on.
Right, we're going to drop the ball with it, but don't worry about it, because we're going to feed the Bella twins down your damn throat.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's real good. We're going to feed the Bella twins down your damn throat, and we're going to continue to push, you know, Paige down my throat, which I can't stand Paige, because nothing against her personally. I just don't find her character intriguing at all. She was like Wednesday from the Addams Family. She just doesn't do anything for me.
And they're just pushing the authority down your throat as well.
The authority down your throat every single week. You got Kane out there, corporate Kane, and I'm just tired of it. It's like, you know what, man? You got Tyler Black out there. I can't wait for Tyler Black to go in and cash it in. So either he's going to win or he's going to not be the champion. I want to see something different.
You know, Frank, a few years ago when they switched to 3-hour Raws, I just couldn't believe the news that they would do. They do that. I understand a business standpoint. They're going to make more money from USA Network. I understand. I get that. But you've just more exposed how lame and unappealing your product is. Not to mention you also have SmackDown. I mean, you have 5 hours of first-run episodic television, as Michael Cole would say, that is boring, drab. And I'm watching the Monday Night Wars, and they're talking about, this is must-see TV, and they're talking about, you know, how did you watch the Monday Night Wars? I channel surfed, or I watched, was it Ryback talking that he watched Raw, and then he watched Nitro on replay right after that, and, you know, it was must-see TV, because he didn't know what was going to happen. Stone Cold was going to stun somebody, he was going to hit his boss, he was going to give him a Stone Cold stunner, he didn't know what the NWO was going to do, he didn't know who was going to be a part of that faction, he was going to have the outsiders throw Rey Mysterio into the trailer in the back, and I mean, to the point where people calling security and calling 911, that they thought this was so real, Frank, that they're actually calling 911 because they thought a real fight was breaking out on the set there. And there's just nothing that is even close to that today. And maybe it's an unfair comparison, talking about the Attitude Era, but I mean, now that's what they're pushing. They're pushing, you know, $9.99. Order the Monday Night Wars, and you can watch Nitro, and you'll be watching all these Raws. But it really just shows that, you know, where we've come in wrestling today. All the star power is gone in wrestling.
I don't really think it's an unfair comparison at all. And the reason why I said it is because WWE is supposed to be the top dog in the world of sports entertainment.
Well, that's true.
So
you're the kings.
So you would think that, okay, if we did all this in the Monday Night War, well, we're on top of our game. We're number one. We beat WCW. We bought our competition. So we should be number one. We should be doing this and doing that. Well, they're not doing this and doing that. I mean, I saw, you know, Big Monster Brodus Clay, you know, who's another guy they dropped the ball with, who could have been a big star, and they just completely dropped the ball with him and released the guy. He was talking about how he used to watch it back in the day, would have one TV on top of another TV. So he watched Nitro and Raw at the same time. There's nobody, you know, clamoring to see wrestling now. It's like, oh, yeah, did you see that episode of Raw Monday night? Raw is miserable now. You can miss Raw. You know, it doesn't matter anymore about, you know, getting home early to see Monday Night Raw. Who does that?
Nobody.
And who watches? And who even? Who and really? And really today, who still watches SmackDown?
I have no idea.
I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, you can't polish a turd, right? It doesn't matter if SmackDown is on Saturday night, if SmackDown is on Wednesday night, if SmackDown is back to Thursday. I don't give a damn. I'm still not watching the show. It sucks. It's garbage. And then you have these other two shows on there. You have Superstars and Main Event. You know, I mean, come on. Really? Those shows are garbage. They're worthless.
I'd say to a larger degree, Raw is worthless at this point.
Raw is a three-hour show, and you would think in that three-hour time frame that they have there, that they can have built new stars, they can give you more longer competitive matches. No, they want to push the Bella Twins down your damn throat every second. That's exactly my point right there, is why the product is stale and nobody's talking. You got Nikki Bella out there telling Brie how much she sucks. And then Brie talking about, oh, stop it, and you saw it. I mean, bad acting, you know, an angle in the feud that nobody gives a damn about. Nobody wants to see it. You can't name me one person that says they want to see it unless they're a WWE mark, that they want to see the Bella Twins fight. And what I read on the website, it all ties into this damn stupid Total Divas show. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, they always do these angles. What, they were building up Natalia's wedding, the last season, right? And now they got Eva Marie, they're pushing. I guess she's got a new relationship, or she's with her guy that's getting serious or whatever. Who cares about the Total Divas?
First of all, Eva who?
That redheaded chick.
Okay, yeah, Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Come on. Eva Marie. You know, nobody's talking about Eva Marie. Nobody cares.
And they still have Rosa around the roster as well?
They still have that drunk. Rosa Mendez on the roster. I mean, she's about to be a big part of Total Divas as well.
You know, I mean, she's good to look at, but, man, she just does nothing as a wrestling character.
Who's good to look at?
Rosa, I think, is good to look at, but... not a good wrestling personality at all.
Bring me Victoria any day. I'll look at Victoria any day over a drunk. Okay, you want to get drunk? Go visit Scott Hall.
There you go. Well, we've got let's shift gears a little bit, because we talked a lot about WWE and their product right now, and so stale and so boring. And I just really, when I watch those old shows, it really reminds me. I mean, I was really getting into the last episode of the Monday Night Wars. It just was, yeah, engaging television, must-see television. Remember those days when you had to see Raw, you had to see SmackDown? I mean, the birth of SmackDown when it was The Rock show, and they had the big set. And they really pushed SmackDown as another show that you needed to see. Sunday Night Heat. Remember when Sunday Night Heat was a must-see TV show?
Yeah, Sunday Night Heat. I remember Sunday Night Heat. And I remember Halftime Heat in 1999. Big Foley, Mankind versus The Rock for the WWE Championship. I remember that. I remember when they used to do Shotgun Saturday Night. And I used to stay up until, I think it was like 12 or 1 a.m. to watch that show. I remember that. I remember those days when I used to, you know, get home from school and I'm supposed to be doing my homework, but I'm watching Nitro. I remember that. You know, those were the days. You know, you don't do that now. I mean, nobody's clamoring to see wrestling. It's not the talk. When I was going to school, man, the next day after a pay-per-view would be, did you see what happened last night at the Survivor Series? Or you see what happened last night at Starrcade? That's what you talked about. And now, did you see what happened at Night of Champions? No. What is that?
What was the night that Raw finally beat Nitro? It was, 4.6 to 4.2 in the ratings?
Exactly. And that was Mr. McMahon versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And now 3.0 is a good rating.
3.0 is a good rating, and they're getting twos for SmackDown, and nobody can tell you why that happens. Nobody can explain where those wrestling fans went. If WWE is a top dog in the business, and I tell this all the time to people on WWE's network's Facebook page, because they like to have their little debates on there. I say this all the time. If their product was so hot, then right now the business would be on fire.
And they wouldn't have to push $9.99 because everybody would be getting $9.99.
Exactly.
And not have to buy a T-shirt that says $9.99 on it.
Right.
Which is Udo. Just how lame is a shirt that says $9.99? Who's going to buy that?
Some somebody out there will buy it. Some WWE, Mark will buy it, because I'm a Nitro Mark, Steve. So I'm going to watch Nitro for $9.99. And that's a hell of a deal. $9.99 a month, just under $10. Incredible deal.
If you keep the network.
If I keep the network, exactly. And I'm not sure I'm going to keep it yet.
Yep. Up in the air. Well, let's shift gears a little bit to Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Remember that group? The Dead Brand, the Impact Wrestling. Of course, they've moved to Wednesday nights. And, of course, as you would imagine, they've lost a little bit of their viewership. It was back up this week a little bit. Back to... largely the usual 1.1, 1.2 million viewers they have on a weekly basis on Spike TV. We talked about Spike keeping it afloat, at least initially, past Bound for Glory, can keep them up for the end of the year. I guess the latest development since we talked on the last podcast is the leading contender at this point would be Velocity to possibly host Impact, and we're talking about, 48 million households is available in compared to Spike is about 98 million, something like that. So, Frank, if they're saying, Velocity is kind of the worst case scenario, well, that's a real bad scenario, Frank. If you lose half the million homes, in fact, I don't know this is a fact, but I had DirecTV a few months ago. I don't believe it was on my DirecTV at all, so I don't even know who even has Velocity, but I mean, the only Velocity that comes to mind is the old WWF Velocity. But, overall right now, Frank, it's a bad situation with the Dead Brand.
Yeah, it just seems like things just keep getting worse and worse with TNA as they move forward, and that's just too bad. I mean, it's too bad that all the years that TNA were on Spike TV, that they could have been that change in the wrestling world. They could have been that next big company, and they let idiots like Vince Russo and backwater hicks like Jeff Jarrett run their promotion and go nowhere and make new stars and push their own talents. They want to depend on, decrepits like, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. And now Spike TV is pretty much saying, we're never going to get to that level where we can compete with Vince, so the hell with this. And that's pretty much what's going on here. And if WWE, if TNA is going to this Velocity network, if that's where they're going to end up going, they have to pretty much at this point take what they can get. Because that's all they're going to be able to get at this point. I mean, the roster is so depleted now. There is no AJ Styles. There is no Chris, Saban. There is none of these guys. And then when your one of your biggest stars, Kurt Angle, is actively talking or was actively talking to WWE trying to get out of the company and go over there, that pretty much shows you what people think of your company at this point. It's not a viable opportunity, and they're trying to get the hell out while they can.
Yeah, I think Velocity would be the kiss of death. I don't know. I don't see it much different than just going dark at this point. And I guess if you go dark, that's probably going to be it. Because I don't know who's going to buy you when you're dark. Obviously, you have no television to promote your product. You can't run shows. I mean, they're talking about today that they're going to basically suspend house shows. Well, Frank, they should have done this a long time ago. I mean, we showed the pictures of 350 people at a baseball stadium and empty arenas in Tennessee when you got Sting on the show that, you know, if you're not going to build your product up to something that people want to see and you don't actually promote it on television. I mean, I'm watching Ring of Honor Wrestling again this weekend, Frank, and you know, they're coming to Philadelphia and they're coming to Toronto and here's ticket information and ROH TV taping in this city and Catch Out the Stars in this city and here's ticket information, tickets go on sale, etc. Where is that in TNA? And I'm surprised, Frank, it took this long to suspend house shows at this point.
They should have suspended house shows years ago when they figured nobody was going. I understand they wanted to try to make that revenue and they wanted to try to make money as far as those house shows go and merchandise and all that. But you know what? The people who would go to these house shows, I heard nothing but positive things about them. Their TNA would actually go the extra mile and making sure that the fan experience was phenomenal. But at the same token, if you're only drawing 60 people and you got to pay for a venue, you got to pay for security, you got to pay for this, you got to pay for that, it's not a viable risk. I mean, it's not a viable situation for you to continue to put money into these house shows. So that's a step in the right direction for TNA not to have house shows anymore for the foreseeable future. My thing, though, is I'm more concerned right now is okay, what network are they going to be on? And when they get on whatever network it's going to be, what talent is going to be left for them to use? Because like I said, Kurt Angle was actively talking as far as, 3 weeks ago, he called Triple H. And Triple H pretty much blew him off, not interested, and Vince McMahon blew him off, not interested. So I don't know, I mean, if you're Kurt Angle, how do you go back and face, like, Vince Carter in the face and be like, you know, you're here, and the only reason why you're here is because WWE didn't want you?
Well, that's how a lot of the guys are in TNA. They're guys, I mean, if they wanted Bobby Roode, they'd have Bobby Roode. If they wanted James Storm, they'd have James Storm.
Yeah.
Yet they've passed on those guys. And I think the writing was on the wall when they took Impact on the road and they couldn't draw flies on the road. I mean, people are not going to pay to go watch your Impact show be taped or be live, then who's going to go to a house show where there's six matches and what they're used to, about 2 hours long, the house show?
Yep.
With an intermission, and then they want you to, you know, pay $20 to meet a wrestler or get your photograph taken with them? It's just not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it was looking to some people.
You know, yeah, some people.
To get to actually go on there, and, you know, you go on there and you get in the ring or whatever. But, you know, in the long run, I mean, it's just a dead brand.
Dead brand, yep.
That's why I christened them the dead brand. They've been dead for a while now.
A long time.
I mean, I knew it the moment that they lost AJ Styles. I knew it was done. How are you going to lose? It's like it would have been back in the day the equivalent of WCW losing Sting. That can't happen. A guy here who was so synonymous with your brand. And now this guy, AJ Styles, is just tearing up in New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, made more money in the first half of the year than he would have made in TNA if he would have stayed there.
Crazy.
And who knows, maybe see AJ Styles on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up. You never know.
I hope so. I would love to see him, and I'd love to see the Bullet Club.
Glad to hear the news, the updates on WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts, because I don't know, Frank, for a couple of days there, it was getting kind of murky at some of the news that was coming out on him, his condition. He was on a ventilator. Definitely looked like a serious life and death situation. And as of this recording anyways, he's off the ventilator. He's talking. He is, ribbing some of the nurses there. Definitely a good sign. And, you know, we've, of course, know the legacy of Jake the Snake, his battles with addictions, his painkillers, etc., that he went through, alcoholism, and his turnaround with, of course, Diamond Dallas Page, along with Scott Hall. And Frank, I hope he can overcome this. Definitely a good sign that he's off the ventilator now. He's talking again. And, you know, in 2014, we had a chance to see him go in the Hall of Fame, which was great to see. And let's just, keep fighting, Jake, and let's put this illness to a DDT.
Exactly. And I think Jake is going to pull off just fine. And I'm pretty sure he'll be okay. It was incredible to me that a guy who had been through so much, you know, I was like, pneumonia isn't anything that takes him out. You know, that's just crazy. But I'm glad that Jake has cleaned his life up, and Jake is doing a lot of positive things right now in his life, and I hope that continues. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, he'll be fine. I mean, here's a guy here who Jake Roberts is a class act, and turned his life around completely 100%. You know, it's you know, really just, he's done a lot of good things, man. I'm really proud to be a Jake St. Roberts fan.
Yeah, versus our good friend Scott Hall, who won't sign a card for a terminally ill kid and tells his readers and his fans out there to blow him.
Yeah, and, you know, think about that situation. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead, you know, beat a dead horse here, but the thing that really kind of, you know, is mind-boggling about that situation still is that Mr. Hall has not stated why he wouldn't sign that card.
No. Nobody's saying, you know, retract that story, it wasn't true, or here's what really happened with that card. Nothing.
So I don't know what the deal was with that. I would love to hear Scott Hall put out a Twitter post or something, do an interview, or somebody out there actually has the balls to ask Scott Hall, why didn't you sign a card?
Or how about Scott Hall just shows up at this kid's bedside? Wouldn't that be great?
Hey.
And I tell you what, I would give him praise. Because we call it like it is.
He doesn't want you to give praise, though. He wants you to blow him.
Well, that's not going to happen. there's nothing that interests me in that area for sure. So
I thought those BX guys like it, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to suck it, not going to blow it. So you can use all those terminologies you want, but I don't know. I mean, there's a group that would tell, like, Sergeant Slaughter to suck it.
Well, you know what? It's the same group that wants to have Michael Sam come on the show next week. So, hey, what are you going to
do? Yeah. And let me say this about Michael Sam real quickly, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they're holding him down because he's openly gay. How about realizing the guy was a seventh-round draft choice? That how many people went ahead of him in the draft? And there's only so many jobs in the NFL. And how about just saying the guy's just not as good as a lot of the other guys around him? And, you know, that happens. And it's not because he's gay that they're holding him down or holding him back. That, you know, he had a chance with another team. It didn't work out. Okay, now he's got, what, a practice squad position with Dallas Cowboys? I mean, that's basically a developmental-type situation. We'll see if he does anything. And if not, then you can't say because he was gay, he was held down. It's just maybe the guy's just not that good.
Well, you know, WWE invited the gentleman to show up on Raw next week to air his grievances about his NFL career, the lack thereof. And now they removed all references to the situation. I pretty much, you know, think they realized, yeah, this guy's not going to show up. So let's go ahead and get ourselves out of this. Like, it never happened. Kind of like Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston's faction. It never happened.
Another PR stunt that didn't work.
Exactly.
They wanted to be talk on SportsCenter that, hey, Michael Sam has been invited to Monday Night Raw.
All right.
But
this would have worked back.
This
would have worked back in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, when people are actually watching your show.
but the product is so bad now. Nobody pays attention anymore to WWE.
True. Quickly, let's get to the poll results here that we've seen. We had the poll about Kurt Angle signing with WWE. The majority of the fans, Frank, want Kurt Angle back in WWE. Did this poll surprise you at all?
No. Because you still have people out there that are Kurt Angle fans, so it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, my thing is I just don't see anything in Kurt at this point. I don't really know if Kurt could be trusted to stay, you know, sober and to not have any demons in his run in WWE. So that's why I am totally against him being brought in.
And another poll was one that actually coincided with your opinion on Eric Bischoff. We ran the poll. Should Eric Bischoff be in the WWE Hall of Fame or should be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? It actually ties into Ravon's question. One of his first questions is, do you think Eric Bischoff deserves the WWE Hall of Fame? And, of course, we had this debate a few podcasts ago, which you can obviously check out the archives at Gerwick.net. Check out the audio section. We've got previous podcasts on Stitcher, Spreaker, download us on TuneIn and on iTunes as well. So, you know, we voiced our opinions about Eric Bischoff. Frank is all for Eric Bischoff going into the Hall of Fame, and you know, we talked about that. You gave your case, I gave my case against, and I will say that, you know, going back to that podcast that we were talking about, I did say if Eric Bischoff would go in, I have no beefs with it. It's just that when we had that debate, would I personally vote for Eric Bischoff in the Hall of Fame? And I would personally not. That's just my opinion. You know, you give them all the credit for building up WCW. Well, you know, in the end, they lost. So it's kind of like, yeah, I kind of see it as, you know, NFL starting up here, Frank. It's kind of like having a huge halftime lead, 28-0 over your foes. And you're like, what a great coach. What a brilliant strategist. And then you end up losing the game. You know, it's two halves, and in the end, they lost. That's why I personally would not vote for Eric Bischoff. But Frank, I have nothing against Eric, and if people want to put him in the Hall of Fame, I really have no issues with that.
You know, the thing why I say that Bischoff goes in, you know, and apparently a lot of other people out there agree with me on this, is right. Because the guy is the only guy in history that's ever really took it to Vince McMahon and Dan Rubino. And like you said, they lost. But here's the thing. There's a lot of reasons why they lost that war. You know, they lost because WCW, being owned at the time by a corporation, they had a lot of restraints on them that they could do and couldn't do on television. They couldn't go to the raunchy, risque stuff that WWE were doing. I mean, you know, I mean, on the Monday Night War episode, Embracing Attitude, Vince McMahon recalls the story of when he got a call from Ted Turner after WWE really pulled ahead. I mean, and Ted Turner, you know, pretty much said to the point where, you know, the reason why you're winning the war right now is because you show a lot more TNA than we do. So that, I mean, just shows you right now, WWE went ahead and they went in a really sleazy way of television. The Jerry Springer model of TV, Crash TV, ECW pretty much television they went into, and that's why they pulled ahead. You know, WCW didn't really have anything outside of NWO. That's where their problem started right there. They had nothing past the NWO angle. They didn't have an exit strategy for the NWO angle. And they stuck with it too long, and they put people in it that shouldn't have been in, like Buff Bagwell and all these other guys. You know, Bagwell and Vincent in the Big Show. And all these different other guys that shouldn't have been in the group. You know, the NWO was strong. If you would have kept Hall, Nash, Hogan, DiBiase, and Sean Waltman, that would have been fine. But then when you started adding all these other people in, you just got watered down, and people just started looking over at the other show and seeing, you know, the Nation of Domination and DX and all these other groups going on and the corporate ministry and all that. You know, it's just that's the reason why they pulled ahead there, in my opinion. It's just, it was, at the time, WWE was just putting out a much racier, raunchier product that WCW couldn't compete. But Eric Bischoff definitely should go into the Hall of Fame just for his accomplishments in the business. I mean, the guy's been in the business since the AWA days. He stuck through it and actually got a pretty, you know, good corporate position in WCW. And it was the only time in the history of the promotion, see, where WCW actually made money. At the end of the day, the bottom line is money. And Eric Bischoff did that. You know, Bischoff, you know, got Hogan, he got Savage, he got, you know, Piper, you got Hall, Nash, you got a lot of different guys out there. And a lot of people will say, you know, Bischoff did a lot of wrong things, but I see a lot of right things that Bischoff did. I see Nitro as a positive. I see the Cruiserweights as a positive. I see Diamond Dallas Page as a positive. I see NWO as a positive. I see Goldberg as a positive. All these things that were contributing to WCW and their domination. I mean, you know, Bischoff was at the helm of that. Bischoff should get the respect for that.
Yep, and as I said, you can go back to that other podcast that we debated. I think we had a pretty good debate on right. Bischoff, and you know, Frank has highlighted all the positives, and of course I, you know, pointed out they won the war for 84 straight weeks. They had on the verge of, you know, killing WWF. They were making $60 million a year. They were really engaging wrestling fans, and how did they lost that war? It's just kind of mind-boggling, and that's why I would still hold Eric Bischoff responsible. He was still the guy in charge. Yeah, he had some restrictions on him, but he signed a lot of those bad contracts, made a lot of poor business decisions, and that's why I vote against him. And as I said, I have no problems if they announce Eric Bischoff for class of 2015. I got no problems with that. It's just, would I personally vote for Eric Bischoff? I personally would not, and Frank would, and that's what it comes down to. I don't knock his accomplishments because you have to give him credit. If you give him all the negative, you have to give him the positives. And at the end of the day, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for the Monday Night Wars and that Attitude Era. And I just, you know, at the end of the day, Frank, to me, they still lost.
Yeah, they lost.
They still lost.
But they lost, but, you know, like I said before, we have to actually go back and look at the reasons why they lost. And how much of the AOL or Time Warner Corporation, how much did they have to do with them losing?
It didn't help.
Exactly.
I agree with that. I end of the day, though, I still think Bischoff was the guy in charge.
And that was number one. But you know, real quick on this one, that was a really big issue as far as with anybody that ran WCW at that time. And that goes back to the moment Ted Turner brought the company. That, you know, a lot of the problems that happened with WCW, you know, I said Time Warner and AOL, but I go back to when it was just Turner, you know, broadcasting stuff running WCW, and how many problems they had back then. It was the same philosophy, you know, the same philosophy of people that know nothing about wrestling trying to run a wrestling company.
Well, you know, you earlier you said, you know, give him credit, he got Kevin Nash and Hall and Hogan and Piper and all these guys, too, Savage. Well, if I offered somebody less dates for more money, of course I'm going to get these guys. That's one of the criticisms. You give them credit for signing these guys, but, I mean, you watch the Monday Night War. I mean, you know, Hall and Nash are getting these offers. They're going to work half the number of dates and make more money. Who's not going to take that deal?
Right, but in the same token, if WWE wanted them, they could have kept them and paid them the money.
True.
Yeah, why this whole thing. This is why I've always heard this stupid thing where people say, "Wow, WWE, you know, had the talent, and Bischoff stole the talent. WWE stole it. WWE didn't steal anything. It was a business decision. It's a deal."
Right.
You're a free agency. You make a decision on where you want to go. Did the WWE steal the Big Show? No. WCW didn't want the Big Show anymore.
Very true.
They didn't want. I mean, Paul White and his fat head can spin it any way he wants. Okay, he can spin it any way he wants to and say, "Well, I got out of there before it hit the fan or whatever." Dude, they didn't want you anymore. Let's just be honest about it. What was the Giant doing in WCW in 98? Nothing but sucking and smoking cigarettes.
And getting lazy and getting fatter.
So, I mean, really, they didn't want you, dude. That's just the bottom line. They had one Giant there. His name was Kevin Nash. We don't need another one.
You know, they made a good point, I think, on the Monday Night Wars. And you were talking about, you know, building up the faction and getting more guys on the roster. And certainly they went, you know, haywire. They got everybody on that roster, especially when they said, what, 20 limos pull up and all my NWO guys. But the first week where they have Hall and Nash basically destroying the roster with just those two guys.
Right.
And he's telling Bischoff, "Do you realize us two, just, you mean outsiders, have just totally destroyed your roster?"
Right.
They couldn't touch us.
Right.
And that's why I think it was so important to have other, you know, new characters in the group. But it just got to the point where they just had everybody in the NWO. He had, like, Mike Rotundo. What was he in the NWO for?
Yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera.
It goes back to, you look at guys like Rotundo, you know, we can say this right quick and then we'll move on. Guys like Rotundo and guys like, you know, Virgil. You know, people say, "Why were these guys a part of the NWO?" It's very simple. They were from the WWF. When you look at Rotunda, you remember him. He was IRS. So why wouldn't he be a part? I mean, you have Ted DiBiase there, right? DiBiase is the money man of the NWO. He's passed off these contracts. Why wouldn't you have Rotunda as part of the group with DiBiase? They were tag team champions before.
Well, part of that, though, Frank, too, is he was trying to build up a separate brand of NWO, and you needed a deep roster.
Retirees was a good hand.
You need NWO Nitro. Remember, they were talking about making WCW Nitro, NWO Nitro.
Right. And like I said, Rotunda is a good hand, and Scott Norton was a good hand. I mean, I just saw the debut of Scott Norton the other day on the network of watching Nitro. And, I mean, this guy came out there and just like, whoa. Another guy, in my opinion, they dropped the ball was Norton could have been a big deal.
That's yeah, he's really good.
That's the guy right there that could have been a WCW champion. You know, and I Macho Man did some stuff with him early on, but he just never went anywhere. I mean, that's a guy right there who could have been a top contender to Hogan at that time. You know, then you had other guys that were part of NWO, like Big Bubba, the Boss Man, another guy who was from the WWF.
Right.
You know, that's the reason why he was part of the group. You know, you just had a lot of guys in there. I mean, if they would have kept it, you know, at the list short, it would have been fine. But I still to this day don't understand why the hell the Giant was ever part of that group. He's like, I don't understand why Macho Man was ever part of that group.
Because I think with Paul White, it was just he was friends with Hogan, right? More or less.
Well, yeah, pretty much. But it's like my thing is that you already had a big guy like Nash. So you don't need another guy. I mean, even to this day, I mean, I look at the NWO back in the day and I look at it and I'm like, you know, I don't understand the logic of this. Why do you need the Giant in there? You already have a big guy like Kevin Nash already there. And then I see the angle here where they were, you know, I remember back in the day, they were trying to put they were teasing the Nasty Boys were going to be part of NWO. And when that didn't happen, it completely killed their career, their momentum in the WCW. And you didn't see the Nasty Boys after that. So there's a lot of stuff that, like I said, there's a lot of stuff they did right and a lot of stuff they did wrong. And I can admit that.
And, of course, this discussion really ties into Ravon's question. His first question was, do you think Eric Bischoff deserves a WWE Hall of Fame induction? Well, we've covered that. And the second question is, what was the greatest impact on wrestling? Hulk Hogan joining NWO or Triple H marrying Stephanie?
Ravon, I'm going to go ahead on a limb here and say that the moment that I think was the biggest impact in wrestling, the thing that really started it all and shocked the world, it was Hulk Hogan turning heel at Bash at the Beach 1996 and joining Hall and Nash to form the New World Order in Daytona Beach. That was a big deal. I don't give two rat's ass about Triple H going and becoming, you know, getting married to Stephanie McMahon, and I can care less about that. In my opinion there, I look at the situation like this. Triple H was just being a man. Triple H made a very calculated career decision that, you know what, I really suck. So let me go ahead and get in with her and have a couple of kids by her, and now I'm going to be the man. And one day, you know, all these people out here that have had a problem with me and have talked all this crap about me for years, I'm going to be the boss. This is the reason why the New Age Outlaws came sucking up to me, and that's the reason why they have a job. Bottom line.
It's the greatest impact for Triple H is to marry Stephanie, for sure.
Exactly.
That's definitely solidified his career in WWE.
Exactly. That's solidified his career in WWE, solidified his legacy. Now, is that going to be good for the long run of the wrestling business? That's not we don't know yet how that's going to affect. We don't know because, see, Vince McMahon is still there, and Vince McMahon still has final say. And I read stories all the time about Vince and Triple H having their button heads about this and button heads about that. Somebody needs to be button heads about this horrible Bella storyline. I'm telling you that right now.
Now, how come not button heads on how stale the product is right now? That's what they should really be talking about.
Well, yeah.
What are we gonna do to make some stars and get peak people's interest in watching Monday Night Raw again?
Well, it ain't gonna be Evolution.
That's for sure.
I mean, you have a situation here where you have Monday Night Raw on 3 hours live Monday Night Raw, and you're getting beat by Love and Hip Hop and unauthorized Saved by the Bell movie. That shows you what people are watching and what they're not watching.
That's for sure. Now, the next question here actually comes from Ravon's cousin, Dakari Adamson. And he's going to pick your brain a little bit on this one, Frank. And it says, my first question is, if you were in charge of booking the invasion angle of 2001, How would you have booked it, and how long would you have let it progress?
How would I have booked the invasion angle in WWE if I were doing it? That's a really good question. It's a really fun question, as a matter of fact. How I would have done it is I would have went and got all the big names that good.
And I was going to say, the big caveat is, could I go out and get Ric Flair and Diamond Dallas Page and Eric Bischoff and all these guys that would have made it even stronger angle than what they ended up with?
First thing I would have done is I would have had Eric Bischoff premiere or debut on that, you know, he would came out on that final Nitro and started the war and said that we're going to invade WWE now, and I would have had gotten contracts for Goldberg and gotten contracts for Sting and all the big time players of WCW that I could have got, because I know that I knew that I would have gotten a return back if we had to put all these guys in the ring at WrestleMania. It would have happened. I would have done that, and I would have let the invasion angle go on probably until WrestleMania 18. I would have let it go for about a year. And in that year's time frame, I would have actually seen if there's a possibility that I could have actually made another brand. It would have been if I'm going to relaunch WCW as a separate brand or just keep it the way it is. I think with the amount of talent that they could have had at that point in time and the machine behind it, I think they could have relaunched WCW. But the problem that happened with that is they put a piece of garbage like Buff Bagwell on Raw against Booker T. And that's what killed him. And that's why I never came to be. But me, I would have gave the people all the matches they wanted to see. You want to see Goldberg versus Steve Austin? You would have got Goldberg versus Steve Austin at WrestleMania. You would have had Hogan versus Rock. You would have had probably, if it was possible, Shawn Michaels to wrestle. You would have had Hall and Nash versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. That's what I would have done. You would have had Vince McMahon versus Eric Bischoff at WrestleMania.
That's like a dream card.
Exactly.
You mentioned right there.
Exactly. And you imagine the amount of pay-per-view buys that would have drew?
Wow.
That would have eclipsed anything that had been done. But you know what? Vince McMahon's ego got in the way of business, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think his whole mentality is, I can't wait to kill WCW.
To kill WCW after I've already bought them. And I could use the trademarks to make money. But instead, I'm going to make sure that their talent looks inferior to mine. So we're not even going to even bother signing the big guys. We're just going to sign these little guys like O'Hare and Palumbo and a lot of these other guys here. I mean, you know, when you think about the cruiserweights, you know, that's another situation I would have really went on. I mean, Velocity TV show would have just been about the cruiserweights. You would have had, you know, Primetime Elix Skipper. You would have had Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Styles, Samoa Joe, Brian Danielson. You would have had all these guys on Velocity. That's what I would have done. I would have done those type of things. It wouldn't even been Velocity. It would have been probably WWE, you know, or if you would have had a new WCW TV show, I would have called it WCW Adrenaline or something like that. Would have been nothing but cruiserweights. So a lot of stuff would have happened that didn't happen.
How, just mind-boggling. You think how hot the NWO angle was, and they could have had something with Invasion. That Invasion angle, the pay-per-view drew like hundreds of thousands of buys. People were really interested in buying.
Yeah.
You know, and that was with the lesser WCW guys that was invading.
It was 800. I think it was like either 600,000 or 800,000 buys that Invasion pay-per-view got. And then after that, the numbers just fell off because the WCW fans saw what they were presenting, and they didn't want to be a part of it. They gave them a chance, and they didn't like what they were presenting, and they said, the hell with this.
But either way, I would say about a year, as far as...
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
A year, and I mean, as hot as the NWO was, after a year, it lost a lot of its luster.
Right around 90, around the summer of 97, that's when NWO really started sucking me.
Yeah, so, I mean, any angle that's hot, it's not going to go beyond a year anyway. So maybe you get 9 or 10 pay-per-views out of it.
Right.
You build it up. As you said, a dream match WrestleMania card, and then you break it up and go in another direction.
Exactly. I would have built it from WrestleMania 17 all the way to WrestleMania 18 in Canada, is where you would have that dream card, and that would have been it for WCW. That would have been the decision would have been made at that point to either we're going to launch WCW or we're going to. That would have been the last time you saw anything of WCW. That's what I would have done.
And then his second question deals with O.J. Simpson. He wants us to do a podcast on the O.J. Simpson trial and that he got off, and that a lot of people even still think he's innocent today, and he's in jail for another situation, another crime he committed. But overall, what's your opinion of the O.J. Simpson situation and him going free after that trial?
Here's my thing about the O.J. Simpson case. I don't necessarily know if O.J. did it or not. I mean, there was blood there that they said was O.J.'s. O.J. could have done it. I don't know. I wasn't there. I drove by the actual scene, though, after it happened. I actually went to Brentwood after it happened. But I will say this. There were a lot of things going on at the time. I think that, O.J. could have paid somebody to do it. I think there was some allegations there that Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman were involved heavily in drugs, and they owed a lot of drug money, and that could be the possibility. I also believe the possibility could be O.J. Simpson just did it himself. I don't know, but all I know is that, hey, you know what? The guy got off when he was clearly involved in a situation, but you know what? Later on, he got his, and that's why he's in jail right now. So then he finally got him.
And I don't think it's all just because people thought he was innocent or he wasn't guilty. The prosecution was a very poor arguments against
the defense. You have the dream team.
The prosecution though coming up with the glove doesn't fit, or he wanted to put the glove on and then it didn't fit, and then of course it's the catchphrase, the glove doesn't fit and you must quit.
Right.
I mean, the prosecution made a lot of errors in presenting their case.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you have the dream team, the defense dream team with Johnny Cochran out there leading the charge, and Shapiro and all the other big shots they brought in.
Shapiro, who was it? Shapiro, Cochran, Effie, Bailey, Kardashian. Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. Do I think today, in 2014, that he did it? I don't know. I kind of think he might have had somebody there with him to do it. Because maybe there was a struggle with the younger Goldman kid. I don't know. I don't know if he did it or not. I guess we'll never really know for sure.
I think it was a hit. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that O.J. had something to do with it. But I believe I think it was a hit. I think it was mafia. I think it was mafia. I think that Nicole Brown Simpson, they said she had a huge drug problem. You know, the cocaine issue. And she owed drug money. So they finally, she had the money, and she didn't have the money, so they went ahead and took care of her and Goldman. I mean, the way their necks were cut, it was precision, just like somebody that knew what they were doing. So, I don't know.
Then how do you explain all the blood on O.J. then?
See, that's the thing about it. See, that's what I said. I believe he had something to do with it. But I believe, also believe he was, it paid off situationally. I don't know. I wasn't there. And the thing about it, too, is that the case was, like you said, presented poorly by the prosecution at the time. I mean, today's technology, you probably can get a pretty good understanding of who did that. But, you know what? It's a done deal now. I mean, and O.J.'s, in jail in Las Vegas, I believe, for an unrelated matter, quote-unquote. But they finally got his dumbass. That's just how it is. They had the guy there. The guy, couldn't stay out of trouble. They finally got him. They didn't get them for that, but they got them for something else.
Do you imagine the NSA now? They know everything that you're doing.
Right.
You could not pull off a crime like that now. I mean, they know every phone call you make, every text message you've written, every television show you've watched, they know. Anything on Netflix, they know you've watched. I mean, they can watch you in real time. I mean, the Wi-Fi, they can tap in at any time. They can tap into your cell phone at any time.
Oh.
The pictures, these pictures that are coming out.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, but I also heard about this, too. So all the listeners out there of the podcast here, now, I'm not saying that people out there are involved in criminal activities, but I want to give people a heads up of what's going on. If you are a drug dealer and you are talking about selling drugs on Facebook, well, they have a new Facebook drug task force that they'd be looking through your messenger. So they're getting you that way now, too.
Yeah, that's insane. If you think you're gonna do criminal activities online, I think you better re-examine that.
See, you'd be very surprised how many gang members are on Facebook and they put their whole gang on air, and the FBI, LA County Sheriff's Department, they know all about it. You have these idiots on there, you know, throwing up their gang signs and everything else. Just complete idiots. FBI, you know, Facebook and Instagram. I've always said Facebook and Instagram. What do you stand for? FBI, dummies.
Yep. All of it. It's Facebook,
exactly.
Twitter's,
exactly. What do you
Instagram, all of it.
Yeah, what do you think it stands for? You're up there putting up all your business about this. And I even read a story about a dude that robbed a bank, right? He robbed a bank out in Florida, and then the idiot posted pictures of himself on Facebook with the money.
And then the fun one, too, was somebody did the ALS challenge.
Yeah.
And he was a wanted fugitive, and they saw the video, and they're like, oh, okay, let's check where he is. And they busted him.
Hey, but he was on charity, though.
Hey, what do you know? Yeah, well, I don't think he'd probably give him any money, but he did. He said he took the challenge.
He did the challenge. He was doing something good for charity.
Right.
Let's give him some credit for that. He was doing a charitable thing. After
now he's
after,
in the slammer.
Yeah, after that murder he committed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Quickly, a couple other tidbits here in closing. We have we ran the poll on Del Rio. Was WWE justified in firing Alberto Del Rio? And, you know, Frank, most of the time the poll was up. It was 50%, 57% were saying yes. And then by the end, it slightly went back to the no at 53%. You know, I don't know. You can make an argument for or against, you know, him being fired prematurely. But I think at nothing else, you have to say yes and just let the investigation process play out. And they just were very short-tempered with Del Rio there.
Listen, the bottom line is that they were looking for a reason to get rid of the guy. So they got a reason to get rid of him. They got rid of him before he got rid of them.
True.
And now he has, you know, now it's been proven in the court that WWE's situation, they were trying to lock him into a no-compete clause for about a year, I believe it was. They said he can work, he can wrestle anywhere. And I guess his lawyer said, no, this is unconstitutional. You can't testify they can't work. So now he's free to work. Yeah. Now he's free to wrestle anywhere he wants to, and I don't think that would include TNA.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody stood up and challenged that. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
And
you're gonna fire the guy. You're gonna fire the guy because you have racism going on in your company, and you want to fire the guy. That's a bunch of crap. It's kind of like if somebody, you know, was to call a wrestler the N word. Would they still be on the roster of the right team? Oh, you know what? They are. Okay.
Yep. We also finished the poll for the tournament for the hottest diva all time in professional wrestling. Now, Frank, when I launched this tournament, I really thought Trish Stratus would go very far, Stacy Keibler, Tori Wilson, and in the end, it was the person that won in 2013, defeating the woman that won in 2012. We did a in-house, compiled a list in-house in 2012. 2013, we went tournament style with Mickie James winning. And then in 2014, we had Mickie James against Brooke Tessemacher. And in the end, Mickie James won. Thoughts on Mickie James being voted the hottest woman all time in professional wrestling?
Mickie is cool. I mean, I'd probably give her a whirl. You know, she's all right.
You know, it really speaks to the popularity of Mickie. She has a lot of fans. I know when we did the interview with Mickie, I was getting a tons of response on social media and emails saying, great interview, glad you have Mickie on. So I know she has a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
And obviously she won in 2013, and she won again in 2014. So I'm a little surprised it's Mickie, but I think it really speaks to the fact that Mickie has a lot of fans out there.
Yeah, Mickie has a lot of fans, and Mickie is really a really, you know, sexy, curvaceous woman. Matter of fact, I mean, she's probably be on my top 10 list. To be honest with you, but my number one would be Victoria. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I have to say, I was a little surprised that Trish Stratus didn't win. I thought
I'm not surprised at all, man. You know what? when she came out there and gave that boring speech at the Hall of Fame. That sealed her fate.
That's true. And then, of course, she's not the blonde anymore. I think a lot of people, you know, identify her as that hot blonde from the Attitude Era.
Right. And
she's not that hot blonde anymore.
No, she's not. She's this, you know, yeah, she's just not that hot blonde.
Right. of course, we had Raven was voted into the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame. Over 16,000 votes. Pretty amazing. And this month, it's the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, or Harvey Boys, as a previous announcer would say. your thoughts on the credentials of the Hardy Boys for the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame?
Oh, you already know, man. They're my vote's going to be there going in. Yeah. Hardy Boys, absolutely. Dude's been in the business for years. I see episodes of them all the time in 1993 on Raw, him being jobbers. Yeah, they go in. Absolutely. I remember back in the day, the Hardy Boys were on Raw with that damn, what were they wearing, that tie-dye crap they were wearing.
Right.
So, yeah, they're going in.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I would vote for them as well. Just that era of TLC with Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys. Now, the Dudley Boys, of course, are in the Hall of Fame, and legitimately they should be. But just that series alone, those TLC matches and them tearing down the house and Jeff Hardy doing the Senton bombs off a 20-foot ladder and just some great matches with Edge and Christian and Dudley's at that time. Tremendous tag team. I believe they have, like, what, about six WWE title reigns as champion. And I don't know how you can vote against the Hardys.
No.
I mean, maybe you don't like them personally or don't like what Jeff has done, you know, outside of wrestling with some of the addictions he's had, but wrestling side alone, they definitely belong in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, yeah, and if people are going to hold him in that, then why wouldn't they hold Raven accountable for anything he's done? I mean, here's a guy who openly said, I don't take anything from you marks. So I'm really surprised that he got in there because I didn't vote for him.
There's some crazy voting in August here, 16,000-plus votes.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is Raven is somewhat a polarizing character. He certainly has his fan base, too. He also has an anti-fan base out there. And I think when it's close, people will vote. I mean, right now, Hardys are over 80%. It's not really close. Right now, they should be able to get in.
Right.
But we saw more votes when Diamond Dallas Page was around 65, 66, 67%. You know, people are either for or against the guy, and a little more voting. I think that explains a lot of the mad voting here was that it was such a close vote. And I want to say real quickly, too, going back to the Hot 100 Women of Wrestling Tournament, we had Medusa went up against Trish Stratus. And immediately there was like 500 votes, 600 votes, 700 votes. And the Trish Stratus fans came out to vote. And there was some people on social media, Facebook, whatever, putting messages to Medusa saying, it's rigged, Gerwig's got this rigged, you're going to lose. Those polls don't get that many votes, etc. Well, Frank, I can tell you, we don't rig polls here at Gerwig.net. There's certainly polls that end up, obviously, if I was rigging poll, I would rig the Eric Bischoff in my favor, right? I would say most people said Eric Bischoff doesn't belong in my Hall of Fame or WWE's Hall of Fame, I should say.
Right.
You know, we don't rig polls here.
No.
Do I agree that Mickie James is the hottest woman in wrestling of all time? No, I don't.
No, I don't.
But we let the fans decide.
Exactly. I don't agree.
The Medusa poll. I mean, why would I rig any poll?
Why would you put a contest up? Exactly. Why would you put a contest up and then you would you know rig it? That doesn't make any sense. We're not doing presidential elections here. So
right.
We don't have some votes sitting around in Florida somewhere that get counted. So. Right.
And I want to thank Medusa out there on Twitter. She said, "Hey, I know Steve wouldn't screw me over in a poll, and how can you argue against Trish Stratus? She was beautiful back in that day, in that time period. You know, it's the Trish Stratus fans came out and they voted for her. In fact, you know, actually towards the end of that poll, Medusa's fan base caught up, and she actually made it a lot closer than what it was initially. So,
WCW?
Yeah,
nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to thank her out there for, you know, defending me, although I don't think I really need defense. I mean, we don't rig polls. Maybe other sites do. I don't know. I can't speak to every poll out there, but I can speak to the Gerwig.net polls, and the site is for the fans, and we want the fans to vote. And we didn't rig any of the polls for the tournament. We don't rig polls, period. And as we said before, we've had results that we didn't agree with. That's part of running a poll, Frank. Not everybody agrees with your opinion on everything.
Exactly. And so, for somebody to come out and say that, it's really just ignorant.
Right.
If they don't like it, if they don't get their way, they're going to, oh, they're rigging it.
It must be rigged.
Exactly.
So many votes, it had to be rigged. No, it wasn't rigged. Not at all. Mickey James won in 2013. She won in 2014. I can't say I totally agree with it, but hey, it's what the fans decided. Yeah, the fans decided it. Yeah. I didn't.
You ever have a heart attack over a poll?
Think that we would rig a poll. What would the point of it be?
I mean, the guy's up there, you know, sitting up there acting like if he goes over and really, like, goes and sues his son Medusa, that's dull. I think they're going over rigging polls. It's like she's going to send him a nude pic or something. Like, dude, go somewhere, sit down.
And, you know, Medusa's somebody I've known for a long time. We had her interview here at Gerwig.net. I've been very friendly with her over the year. In fact, one time she called me the official interviewer, was Medusa out there. So, I mean, why would I – the insinuation that I would rig a poll is just ridiculous to start with. And then to rig a poll on somebody that I've had somewhat of a relationship over the years with, I mean, just totally ridiculous. So.
Yeah, this is just complete asinine comments that people make. So they're just ignorance. I mean, the site's been up since 1997. It's a credible website, and we do credible things here on the podcast. So nobody's rigging nothing. And people out there, you know, think that something's rigged over here. My opinion is, go get a life.
Yeah, we don't rig polls. There's no point into it. And if I rigged a lot of polls, people would catch on and they wouldn't vote on my polls.
Exactly.
So, and I just want to thank Medusa out there on Twitter, who came to my defense. She didn't need to do that, and she said, you know, get over it. Trish was hot, and she deserved a win. So that's the bottom line there. As always, you can email us, GerwigReport@Gerwig.net. As I said before, you can download our podcast on iTunes. You can listen to us, stream us on TuneIn. You can listen to us on Spreaker and Stitcher as well. We always appreciate your support here at Gerwig.net. Love for you to even put the tweets out on us. Tell your friends on that NSA spying models of Twitter and Facebook out there that you enjoyed the podcast, that we do something different here. We don't sugarcoat things. We tell it like it is. And we always appreciate fans putting the words out that they enjoy the podcast. Tell a friend. Phone a friend. You know, if you don't want to use the old methods of social media, you know, tell your friends, text your friends, let them know that, you know, Frank D and I come out here and we just tell it like it is. We don't sugarcoat anything, and we don't leave any leaves unturned, Frank. There's no point of us BSing. We're two passionate wrestling fans, and as always, we'll tell it like it is.
Exactly. And then we're not going to come up here and try to make friends with people.
No.
We're gonna go up here and we're gonna have an unbiased opinion of the current state of this business. And that's exactly what we do here on the podcast, and that's what we would continue doing in the future.
And unfortunately, the current opinion of the current product is not very good.
No.
And that's why we tell it like it is here.
Exactly. I mean, when people out there are saying they're watching Nitro instead of the Bella Twins bad acting on Monday, now I tell you something.
You know, we did the hotline back in 2004 and 5, and TNA was somewhat interesting at that time. They had the X Division going, and you know, there was certainly hotline reports we did that we look forward to doing. But I was thinking the other day, can you imagine if we were doing hotline reports and podcasts in 96 and 97 and 98 when things were really clicking, ECW was a hot product, how much excitement we'd have for this podcast at that time? You know, it would be just tremendous. And I would love to see wrestling return to that in some form here in 2014.
Yeah, I'd love $1 billion too, but it ain't going to happen.
Well, we can always hope, right?
Yep.
If nothing else. And Frank D has to decide by the end of the day, will he or will he not keep the WWE Network?
Yep, I'm going to have to make that big old decision. If I'm going to spend the $9.99 or if I'm going to do the $12.99, I really don't know. what I'm going to do about that, pal. But I'll let everybody know. You can actually follow Frank D on Twitter at realfrankdee@twitter.com. I'm usually on there talking a lot of ish, so you can go on there and see what I got to say.
And maybe Frank D will make his announcement, whether or not he keeps his subscription or cancels today on his Twitter.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. I will break in on Fox News and CNN and all that. I have a breaking news report about my decision as it relates to the WWE Network. I'm pretty sure that people around the world are going to be waiting to hear what I got to say.
There you go.
Yeah.
As always, you can follow the Gerwick Report on Twitter. We're at Gerwick Report. I'm at Gerwick, just simply G-E-R-W-E-C-K, and also on Twitter as well as Steve Gerwick, the anti-NWO Twitter, not the anti-NWO New World Order Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, although sometimes I'm a little agitated with Scott Hall. But you can also follow us on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, I should say, Gerwick.net. Like us there. You know, give us the like for the Gerwick.net website, which has been, as Frank said, has been up and running since 1997, hard to believe. And yeah, we came in during that Attitude Era, Frank, and the Monday Night Wars. And I just remember what a great period. And I guess if you weren't there or you just want to relive it, $9.99.
Very, 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 very true.
The bottom line right now. So as always, we appreciate your support. Thank you for listening to the Gerwick Report.